And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Firefly seed is corpse of my soul. Corpse of my soul. I got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn. So little states are high. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. And they all live a little cat. And I just live love spits. Fever! Last fever! Fever! Last fever!
Good morning, sweet world! And welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, January 12th, 2024. This is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Podcast listeners, this is for you.
Next to him, it's the bearded one, my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey-o. And over yonder, the man making the magic happen, super producer, J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, subscribe, share the show with a friend, comment away. And podcast listeners, please, leave your boys a five-star rating and review on today's drop. We're going to look at the biggest names traded over the last five deadlines to maybe sort of try and figure out who could be the biggest name this deadline. We got an incredible tweet of the night, a must-see tweet of the night, I will say, and we'll end with rapid-fire fun. But first, we're jumping through some of the games. A lot of blowouts there.
Oh, ugly night in the NBA.
Yeah, ugly afternoon maybe and night. But we got some news as well. But let's start with a game that you guys had on playback, and it was the NBA Paris game, and it was Donovan Mitchell scoring a season-high 45 as the Cavs beat the Nets. Does Paris deserve better is the question. Or what did you think of the game?
They definitely deserve better from one team. The Brooklyn Nets, However, Donovan Mitchell did show up. The Donovan Mitchell show was fun to watch. The dribble package, he had it all. He had the spins. He had that quick crossover. I like the up and over when there's someone reaching. That's so pretty. He did that to Trendon Watford. He even did it to Nick Claxton's head at one point. He didn't score after, so it's not on the highlights. But, but a couple pretty moves. And just watching that and hearing about Donovan Mitchell and how he wants to be on USA this summer for the Olympics made me think of Dwayne Wade. Because Dwayne Wade was the last guy who liked that up-and-over move. And also, in 2008, he was part of the Redeem Team. He was coming off the bench. Kobe, LeBron, Melo starting. And he was the lead scorer on that team. And watching last year with the World Cup, Steve Kerr was saying, Anthony Edwards, you come off the bench. Do your thing. But then the starting lineup didn't really work, so he brought him back into the starting lineup. But I could see Donovan Mitchell being that guy off the bench, being the Dwayne Wade. Just not passing. Just score, man. And Dwayne Wade was the leading scorer in that Olympics. And they need one of those. And Donovan Mitchell could be that because he's going to be with a lot of stars who would be the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's going to be a little release of the guys that they want to have. Not necessarily a public release, but just to push. Guys like even Steph want to be there. Durant wants to be there. So he could be off the bench. I could see that happening. Anyways. It was good that he was there.
Yes.
Yes, it was good that he was there because this was a boring, tedious watch. I was yawning through the fourth quarter at 4 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. The Nets shot 45% from the field. The Cavs shot 39% from the field. Both teams finished under 30% from three. Luckily, Mitchell was there. But you can tell that the game wasn't all that because everybody's talking about will he make the Olympic team in the summer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just because it was in the same city. But 21 points in the fourth quarter. The Nets did stage a little bit of a comeback. And then Mitchell checked back in and slammed the door on him. Started hitting some threes. Basically, only Caris LeVert was playing well alongside Mitchell there on the Cavs. But this was a game. This was a game of basketball.
Well, did they get excited when Tristan Thompson got ejected with like 10 minutes to go in the game? He was pissed off with Nick Claxton, you know, jamming on him or near him. And I guess that cut the lead to 10. It started to get a little close, but Thompson took offense to it. Did the crowd pop? Or were they just confused?
Yeah, it was a little...
Okay.
Whatever. A little happening out there. I think, you know, Tristan Thompson had his pride hurt yesterday, I do believe, because they went to hack a Tristan Thompson in the third quarter. You don't see the hacks all that often these days. He steps to the line, knocks down the first one, stares down Jock Vaughn on the Nets bench, goes to the line for the second one, airballs it completely, didn't even touch the bottom of the net. And then he's just laughing, running back. They did it again. He missed the next two. Then he got dunked on by Claxton. So he said, I've had enough of this. You're embarrassing me in Paris. No, I'm getting kicked out.
Yeah. Probably wise.
Yeah, the hack of Tristan Thompson in the third quarter. That was early for that. And to see him get tossed like that, even I thought it was a little lame. I like reducing a little bit of the fighting, air quotes, fighting. But Nick Claxton, after the dunk and after the whistle, just was walking back to his own bench. And he got in Tristan Thompson's way, so Tristan Thompson used his chesticles to bump him. Yes, absolutely. That's what happened. But a flagrant two for just tossing. If it wasn't for the quick crossovers of Donovan Mitchell and scoring 21 in the fourth quarter, this game would have been yikes. That would have been the highlight we would have been talking about. That's Tristan Thompson. Tristan Thompson bumping. But Donovan Mitchell was really good in that fourth.
Yeah, and you said it there. Several officials from USA Basketball were on hand to watch. He went 15 to 30 from the field, 11 to 13 at the line. He had 12 boards, too, which was one shy of his career high. And The Athletic did report on Wednesday that USA Basketball, they're going to begin formally recruiting players for the Paris Olympics by the end of this month. So we, I don't know, it'll likely be leaked, right? We'll get a list of 35, 40 players who might make the final 12-man roster. Mm-hmm. So we can look forward to that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Luckily, Mitchell put on a show for everybody in Paris.
Yes.
You have to assume it'll be a little bit more fanfare next year if Wembanyama is there with the Spurs. Yeah. At least he is there. I mean, we'll see who they're playing, whether the game is any good, but it is what it is. Moving on.
There's a couple of interesting things here, though, happened in the Paris.
You were yawning. I didn't know you had notes. Good.
No, it has nothing to do with the game.
Oh.
Things that are happening around the game. Joe Vardon reported that Spencer Dinwiddie and Dorian Finney-Smith, both starters for Brooklyn, both received IVs for undisclosed illnesses. Hmm. Played reduced minutes. I think they got the Lee Ellis special, would be my guess. Undisclosed illnesses, but they were still able to play.
They had fun in Paris.
They had fun in Paris. They didn't do much out there on the court. Also, the Nets hosted, this is from Joe Vardon as well, the Nets hosted a symphonic tribute to Notorious B.I.G. at the Paris Opera House.
I did see that.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently that was one of the best things that Jock Vaughn has ever been to. That's what he said. That sounded good
to
me.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds great to me.
Yeah, too much fun, though, for Spencer Dinwiddie there. He's like the big...
Who was the biggest star in attendance? Obviously, Tony Parker's always there. Joaquim Noah, you know, former NBA player.
Pharrell
in a cowboy hat.
His hat.
Yeah, right? He left early.
Did he?
Yep.
And a lot of soccer stars as well.
Mbappe. Yeah, okay.
All of PSG was there, basically.
Yeah, old Ronaldo.
Ronaldo was there. Beckham, yeah.
Yeah, Beckham was there as well. The thing with the 35-40 list for the Team USA, I don't think that we're all going to see that, because there's going to be, number one, there's going to be lots of people from that list that say, no, I'm not going. And I don't think they want the public to see that. I think that's going to be a private list that Steve Kerr and Grant Hill may have.
Right.
Joe
Vardon will leak it.
He's all over Team USA. Two last nuggets here. Yeah. Mikal Bridges, we know about his streak. He says he's eaten Chipotle every day for a decade.
Oh.
I think it's dubious. I don't know how he would have gotten it in the bubble, personally. But he did get it delivered to his hotel room in Paris. He's like, that got that Potle. That was awesome.
Wow. Yeah, it looked like he didn't order it, that they just knew that he's been ordering forever, so they just showed up.
Okay.
Yeah, just a marketing move.
Yeah, okay.
And finally, Jared Allen took a picture with the Eiffel Tower and sent it to his mom.
I love all this stuff. This is
right?
Great.
That stuff's better than the game. All of that was very cool and fun. And the game was the game.
Did we ever find out if Jeff Hamilton made those leather jackets? Does anybody know?
Great question. The answer soon to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the other games on yesterday, a lot of them blowout variety. Even the close one was sort of a blowout until the Knicks made it interesting with a late push. But you see it here. Bucks trounced the tired-looking Celtics, 135-102. Thunder rolled past the Blazers, 139-77. Not a typo. That 62-point victory matched the fifth largest rout in NBA history. Kyrie Irving scored 44 as the Luka-less Mavericks beat the Knicks 128-124. Like I said, that one got close. And then Beal and Booker combined for 68 points as the Suns rolled to the 127-109 victory over the Lakers. Things were getting so bad on TNT in the doubleheader that the Ernie was cutting away from the Celtics getting killed by the Bucks to like a 20-point difference in the Knicks game at the time. Like, they were just like, we don't know what to show you here. So one of these nights in the NBA, but any games or any performances that you wanted to touch on?
I love Ernie calling for the red zone, essentially. Let's jump over to this game. It was literally the worst night of the NBA this season. And that's fine. That's fine. It was blowout after blowout after blowout. I thought the Knicks showing up in Dallas would be a lot different. They just started it off so poorly, let Kyrie go off. OJ Anunoby went to guard him in the third quarter. They didn't start that way. They just got way behind. It was a one-point game, though,
in the
last 30 seconds, and they let Dallas get three offensive rebounds. They had four shots in a one-point game.
That's tough.
That could have been way different.
Yeah.
But there's just so many of those, and they got down so early. And we were talking, actually, while watching the Nets and the Cavs. Are the Nets going to beat the 82 points of the Hornets, which is the lowest scoring number this season?
Oh,
and they did, but then the Blazers beat it yesterday. 77.
Amazing.
They lost by 62. They lost by 73 a couple of years ago, but that has nothing to do with anything.
Well, the Thunder did.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The Thunder did. Well, no, the Thunder lost by 73 a couple of years ago. Shea was sitting, so it was okay back then. But this was just a womp. 62-point victory. That's the
one. A womp.
It matched the fifth largest rout in NBA history. That just doesn't happen. So when they lost 2 years ago by 73, that's the biggest difference in NBA history. Mm. Yeah, weird one. Weird stuff out there last night.
Yeah, very strange. Do you have any notes?
Just quickly on Kyrie. Scored 44 points last night. Let me run the numbers here on how many shots he actually made. 15 shots. Three of them were layups. This guy was absolutely cooking with the jumper. He also had 10 assists, so a lot of time when he was getting into the lane, he was spraying out to shooters. Tim Hardaway Jr. had a really good game. The Mavs hit 17 threes. They looked good. And I thought that was a nice win for Dallas because they had a great win against Minnesota. Then they had a real bummer loss against the Grizzlies right after they found out about Ja Morant. And then now they beat a hot New York team. No Luka. And they were also missing Derek Lively, who hasn't played in a little bit. And same with Dante Exum. So I thought that was a really nice win for Dallas, for Kyrie stepping up there. Then in that Lakers-Suns game, kind of interesting. Bradley Beal, a season-high 37 points and 8 threes. The Suns took 39 attempts from three in this game. That's tied for their fourth most this season. Big-time area of improvement for Phoenix, and Beal is the key there because Phoenix is 26th in three-point attempts, 21st in three-point rate. We know they're mid-range monsters, but Beal was looking and shooting threes last night, knocking them down, which was great for the Suns. On the flip side, the Lakers, they don't guard the three-point line at all. They allow the most threes per game. Teams are shooting 38% against them. Then offensively, they're 29th in three-point attempt rate, 28th in makes per game. They make 11 of them in a game, give up 14. You're down 9, starting the game, just from your averages, really. So LA needs some three-point shooting.
Yeah, they absolutely do. They need a guard who can do it because it's not coming from anybody there. It's just the way it is. They obviously need Gabe Vincent to be healthy. But I do find the thing with Anthony Davis a little bit odd, because Darvin Ham said before the season, oh, he's going to shoot a lot of threes. That's what he's going to do. But Anthony Davis hasn't gone back to bubble Anthony Davis. He's only shooting 1 3 per game. It just doesn't happen. Mm. I'm just a little surprised why you just wouldn't stand out there and stroke them, because, as you said, they're so far down in the ratings and start as far as three balls go, but it's just not going to happen. So they need a guard, desperately need a guard to do that. But it was cool to see Beal on the other side look fantastic.
That was the best I think he's looked all season.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He even was dribbling into some of those threes, but the Lakers were taking away Durant. Durant scored in the teens. Booker looking great at the point guard spot. That's what this team was built for. Bradley Beal, you're the third best guy. You're just going to get open shots.
Yeah.
He had open three after open three after open three. So 37 for him, and Durant can just chill with an 18-point night.
Yeah, I think heading into the game, even Vogel talked about the Suns. Shoot more threes. Like, we should be shooting more threes. So they obviously took that to heart. And Durant talked about, like, telling Booker, like, stop looking for me so much. Like, go, cook, man. Like, and you always know, I've said this before, Booker in the first quarter, man, like, he has either games where he can't score at all, or he has those 16-point first quarters, and it's like, whoa, he's here to play tonight. And it was one of those games last night as they rolled to the victory. And the Bucks needed that one, just to jump to that. I know it was a, you know, we didn't even have starters playing for the Celtics in the second half. Bit of a scare. schedule quirk there. They're not the first team to play a back-to-back in the NBA, so we don't need to like cry for them that much. But they went to overtime against the Wolves and then play Milwaukee. And Milwaukee needed this one. You know, they had been reeling or sliding a little bit there in terms of all the losses piling up. So to get this one, Bobby Portis was really, really good along with Giannis, if you're going to look for anything in this one.
Get rid of the back-to-backs. Adam Silver, I know you want to move to the in-season tournament and have a soccer sort of tournament. We'll have a soccer sort of style and don't have back-to-backs. I think we can get rid of them.
It's true.
Why not? There's like 14.
You want a 12-month NBA season?
No. No, sir.
Well,
you want a shorter season?
Yes.
That would be nice.
Yeah,
listen,
that's
it's only
the key, but they'll never do it.
I know. It is sort of the key, but each team only has like 15. So I'm just saying 15 back-to-backs.
Yeah.
So you could, yeah, expand the season by 15 days and just literally get rid of them. That's not that hard. The beginning of October.
They did that. They started the season earlier and they moved it back.
Yeah, but it was just 1 week. I mean, it hasn't obviously. They're doing a bunch of weird things with the in-season tournament. Everybody takes some time off, just chill. The All-Star game, just chill. I don't know. The back-to-backs just suck. Period. In general. But anyways,
true. Totally. No one's gonna disagree with that.
Yeah.
But
to be fresh,
unless we go 12
fresh.
Months long seasons, which no,
it doesn't have to be. Well,
then we have to cut 15 games, and then we're done.
Yeah, it would be nice to cut off games for sure. Cut some games, or it's not 12 months, but it would make the season longer, which stinks. The only positive I thought watching that Phoenix Lakers game that made me smile was seeing Bol Bol smile. This guy is the backup center for the Phoenix Suns now, which is unexpected. The guy was signed in September to a minimum deal. He scored this basket where he spun, looked like Donovan Mitchell out there, and he scored, and he just came back with the biggest teeth smile I've ever seen on Bol Bol. So respect to that, respect to him being their backup center. It is interesting how they're trying to move all of these pieces. Frank Vogel's trying to just piece things around their big three, and Bol Bol looks good.
All right, that's way too much on last night's blowout games. Let's move to LeBron and Giannis, still leading their respective conferences in the second fan returns of NBA All-Star voting. The league dumped this on us yesterday. Here's a quick look. In the West, not a lot changed. It's LeBron, Jokic, KD as your three frontcourt guys, and then Luka and Curry still as the guards leading when it comes to the fan vote. Again, 50%. This accounts for, and then the media and the players have 25% when it comes to their vote. And in the East, it's Giannis, it's Embiid, it's Tatum. Again, no surprise. But we had one little change here. Halliburton still leads the guards in total votes, and Trae Young has jumped Damian Lillard. So he is slotted into the second spot. Asked you this last week, I'll ask you again. Any surprises, TK, from second fan returns here of NBA All-Star voting?
Well, I think Trae Young moving into the starting spot is the biggest surprise, but he's also averaging 28 points per game and 11 assists while shooting like a career high from three right now. Definitely deserving, but I was going back and looking. I was like, okay, how did this actually happen? Because Trae went on that streak of seven games where he had 30 points and 10 assists. I was thinking, oh, people were just watching those games, but that was before the first returns voting. So I don't know what happened here. I guess Lillard hasn't been super impressive for the past 1 week, but it seems like Hawks fans just got behind Trae Young right here. And despite the fact he's been a little bit cold recently, it'd be nice for him to start an All-Star game. He has before, but sure, send him back.
Yeah, for sure. He's moved up to second, dropped Lillard. I would say from the East, the Celtics fans also did some work. Porzingis jumped up a couple spots. Derek White jumped up a couple spots, or jumped up a spot. So did Drew Holiday. And so with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum up there, that's five starters for the Boston Celtics among these 20 names. That's 25% of these 20 names. Respect. The New York Knicks at least got Julius Randle on the ballot.
Yeah.
He wasn't on it before.
That's
now
right.
He's eighth among forwards. He wasn't there before. So some teams doing some voting. Same with Devin Booker. He showed up. He wasn't on there before.
In related All-Star news.
I was going to ask, any harsh words for Raptors fans?
Yeah, where's Scottie Barnes? Nowhere to be seen. Siakam, nowhere to be seen. I guess that's less surprising. But then again, I've also said, like, personally, I don't think anybody should be voting for really any other forward in the Eastern Conference outside of Embiid, Giannis, and Tatum. That's how I would be filling out the ballot, picking 3 cents. But yeah, a lot, you know, Canada does generally pretty well in this, getting behind the Raptors and their players, and he has been good. Though then you look at the record and you're like, oh, it's a Hawks-like record, right? But Trae Young a little more little more fanfare from either Hawks fans. That's probably just from like kids and fans of the NBA, I think, more than even Hawks fans. I don't know many Hawks fans, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, a little surprising, though, that he's not even cracking the top 10, either of those guys.
Barnes deserves it.
Deserves to be 10th.
I'm surprised
he might be
not...
10th after the Darko rant. People know who he is now.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Cat is 10th in the Western Conference amongst forwards. That's a small market thing, I guess, with the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's kind of odd. Like, Wemby and Holmgren are above Towns as they battle 8th and 9th. What a battle. What a rookie of the year battle there for 8 and 9. But it is, looking at the Western Conference forwards, it is fun. Jokic, he jumped Durant for second in Western Conference That's forwards. Şengün jumped Paul George for 6th. For the Western Conference Awards? Hey, Turkey.
Yeah.
Doing their thing.
I mean, for the most part, I think fans are getting it right, but I would have SGA over Curry right now filling out a ballot as one of the guards, and I would have probably Jalen Brunson as the other guard instead of Trae Young to go along with Halliburton. But yeah, for the most part, and then again, like, it'll be interesting.
Jalen is 6th. That's pretty far low for the Eastern Conference guards.
Jalen Brunson. Yeah, exactly. But it'll be interesting to see when, you know, if this, let's just say, Trae Young stays in second. 50% of the vote, again, from the fans. How will the media and players... Players generally never vote well for Trae Young, if I remember correctly.
Not last
Probably
year.
Not, yeah.
I don't know if last year
so
was the
where
first
does
year, but...
he fall in those votes, and who does that help? Brunson, Mitchell, you know, maybe Dame, stuff like that. So yeah, we'll see. We'll start making our actual All-Star picks in the coming weeks here as well. I was going to say, in other All-Star news, maybe some leaked jerseys. We don't know. This was making the way around the Twitter sphere yesterday from @Brandon1Ann on Twitter, on X. What do you guys think? Got some maybe, again, potential 2024 NBA All-Star jerseys here. A red and a blue, because we're going east-west again. Thoughts? What do you think? Good, bad, meh?
I think these are good.
I sort of like them, yeah, if they're real, too.
I love pinstripes. Okay. I'm assuming the blue one would be the east. I went back and looked at like old Michael Jordan All-Star games, and it seemed the Eastern Conference either wears white or blue for the most part. So that's what I'm guessing. But yeah, I mean, the Pacers, their most famous uniforms aren't their pinstripes, but they had a lot of great moments in the pinstripes as well. So I like them playing off that. And then anytime you use cream as a trim, it looks great.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tess?
I say they're very solid. The pinstripes just makes them less regular, less just sort of normal, standard stuff as it was last year. So yeah, they've taken a little step up, and I do like the colors are, you know, simple, but I like how it's bold enough. I think the red one especially is bold enough.
Has like a vintage feel, yeah, right? The colors to me, maybe with the cream, mm-hmm, and the simplicity of it all. If again, these are the jerseys, mm-hmm, and I think it would fit well with the aesthetic of Indiana. So we'll see if those are real. Thanks to Brandon there on Twitter. Got some news here. Grizzlies guard Marcus Smart has suffered a severe right finger injury, and he will be sidelined for 6 weeks. This is another injury to another key member of the Memphis Grizzlies backcourt, coming 2 days after Ja Morant tore his labrum, forcing him to miss the rest of the season. So obviously no Steven Adams for the season. Brandon Clark going to miss basically maybe the entire season now with the way their season's probably going to go. Thoughts on this one here from Smart. Going to miss a chunk of time.
Thought is that was strange how it happened.
Yeah.
It was swiped down upon by Kyrie Irving. But then Marcus Smart continued to play. He shot a three, and after he shot it, he looked at his fingers, and he thought, whoa, I got to do something.
messed up.
It looked crazy. Yeah.
Literally displaced. Yeah. So that's when he walked off.
Yeah.
It's just weird that it happened that late. Why wouldn't you just go off right after you got hacked? But I guess it felt fine enough until he let
it
rip.
Tough as nails, man.
Yeah, but maybe it's the shot. Maybe it's the shot form. I don't know. It's because it's his ring finger.
Yeah.
It's like I say it's his shot form, but then he went and celebrated with these two fingers. He did a three sign. He did a three.
But he had a weird one just
And then
day.
He looked at it.
Three and a half. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah. That's what made it weird, because he celebrated. What the? You know? And so that was weird. Yeah. It's just so many injuries for these guys.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's cool, though, that he made his last three. That's cool. Smart was actually playing probably about as well as he had so far this season. But for Memphis right now, their only point guards left on the roster are Derrick Rose and Jacob Gilliard, mm-hmm, who are kind of like on two opposite ends of the spectrum of fourth string point guards, like guy way past his prime, guy you've never heard of. So they'll probably make some sort of move to pick up some sort of dude. We shall see who it is, and, you know, obviously this ain't the season for the Grizzlies. Are they going to trade Luke Kennard? That was my big takeaway looking at this team. They probably don't need Luke Kennard right now. Mm-hmm. That's a guy you have on your team if you're trying to make a playoff push. Maybe he helps somebody else out over there. Give me Ish Smith for Luke Kennard. I don't know. Like, something simple so they can have a point guard who can pass it to Bane and Jackson.
Yep. Yeah. And Marcus Smart was playing well, as
yeah.
you said.
Yeah.
Hitting threes.
Well, you had brought up his name as a potential guy that maybe they would move, the yeah. Grizzlies, because you could see teams wanting a guy like Marcus Smart, of course,
yeah.
come playoff time. But I wonder if that changes this at all.
Right. But as far as the front office must go, they must look at the roster and say, got to trade the older guys. Got to trade the older guys. Luke Kennard, yes, you're allowed to be dealt. And potentially Marcus Smart as well. We thought Marcus Smart would work well with this team, just being their yeah. heart and soul.
And he might. we just don't know.
Yeah, because, yeah, again, like 25.7, 4.7 assists, great percentages, shooting really well the last three games. They're just the last three games. So he was helping.
Good. I was like, what? Is that, there's is no that way good? Marcus Smart is averaging 25 a game. I was going to be shocked.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So well,
that would come back to earth.
I was just going to check the standings here, like where they are in terms of win losses. They're low, but still, I mean, they have 14 wins. And then, you know, you've got all these other shitty teams in the league. Like, you really would have to commit to not winning many games from here on out to get into, like, the top four, help your odds for the number one pick when we're talking Spurs and Pistons and Wizards and Hornets and stuff like that. And even Blazers there.
Yeah.
So,
14 wins for the Grizzlies, and fifth worst record right now is the Hornets, who have 8 wins. They've almost got double the wins already, and they just unfortunately picked one up against Dallas earlier this week. But who knows, you know. The end of the season, weird stuff happens. Like, 6 weeks for a dislocated finger sounds like a long time to me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of guys play through them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shout out Kobe Bryant. Yeah. But Smart to sit him down. Oh,
yeah. Nice. Wow. Smart me. All right, final piece of news here I want to slip in before we take a break. The NBA is finalizing plans to turn the 2024 draft into a two-night event in Brooklyn. According to Woj, the draft would be split into first and second rounds on successive nights, June 26th and 27th. But the league must still get final approval from the Players Association before the plan can be made official. I guess the idea here is NBA teams, they're a little frustrated with the chaotic speed of the second round and that they would like it over two nights to allow a little more time to plan their strategies and to make deals and stuff like that. That's the thinking behind this. Okay.
Yeah, it's totally sure. fine. I don't know which one means more to the league. The fact that teams get to talk more, yeah, and have more time for the second day and develop some more involved deals, you know, with more teams and talk to each other and even talk to each other after the first round. Or is it the NBA wanting to get paid a little bit more because it'll be on 2 days on TV like the NFL? I'm not sure which one matters more, but I think it is good for front offices, period. Even after the first round ends, they could just be sitting there and chatting for 4 more hours instead of the whole thing being done to work things out create their own chaos. So I think it helps staffs talk to their own staff and then talk to other teams as well. And it also helps the NBA make money.
Trey, what do you think of this?
Sure. Okay. I think the same thing as when they announced it over the summer that they were looking at this. The only way it makes any sense is if they do lottery on night one, cap it there, and we come back for the second half of round one on day two and then all of round two.
Yeah. Because, sounds like they're not going to do that, but yeah.
But they should.
Yeah.
Because who's tuning in for the second round on a Friday night?
No. Apparently it might be Wednesday and Thursday, so not Friday night, but no one. I mean, very few people are. Like, the sickos of all sickos are going to be tuning in to see the 54th pick being swapped around 3 times on the second night of the draft. But it makes sense from the team building, because it does go quick there in the second round. It has to, because the whole thing still takes, like, how long does that thing go for on one night?
A long
5 hours?
Or it goes late.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Like, it's, I don't know, I tune out after, like, yeah, you get at least a first round, and it's like, okay, get out of here.
But I think there'll be some people tuning in. What else is going on late June? There ain't a whole lot of other sports. Baseball? This is, and the fact that it moves to primetime instead of being on it 10 p.m., 11 p.m. Eastern.
I guess.
I mean, not a lot.
I guess. I do not think.
Well, you're hitting on it right there, Tass. It's all about money. No. Yeah. I mean, yes, the NBA teams are going to have more time to make second round trades.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah, we'll see the number 60 pick go for cash considerations. They needed 3 more minutes to figure that out. It's all about putting something else in primetime.
Mm. Yeah.
It doesn't matter if anybody watches it because it'll be more than no people watching no show.
Mm. All right.
Yeah. It is about money for the NBA as TV partners. They say, hey, TV partners, you know, go get more money from ads and buy it for more from us. Mm-hmm. As far as the NBA goes, so yeah, absolutely. I think there will be some weird GMs making some second round deals though that are a little bit more interesting. You know, maybe a player, maybe a Luke Kennard gets thrown in the deal. I don't know.
Oh man,
oh, I'm tuning in.
Tune in tomorrow, 8 p.m. Eastern. Luke Kennard may be moved for a top 55 protected second round pick.
Oh my God.
Look, they're trying to copy the NFL and what they do.
They should copy less games from the NFL. They will take everything else. Except for less games. Exactly. Scarcity of games. Yes. No way. We're an inventory sport, not an event sport.
There should be less games.
Good point.
There should be less games.
The NFL's adding games. Yeah. The NFL's going one way. The NBA's going.
NBA's like, we'll play 82 games. If the NFL went to an 82-game schedule, people would watch all 82 games. That's the crazy thing.
Oh, it's probably
There's
true.
There's a playoff game this weekend for the NFL Wild Card Weekend, which is a very, very popular weekend.
Hell yeah.
But one of those games is solely on Peacock.
Oh, yeah. You're going to see a lot of frustrated people this weekend.
You got to go to Peacock? That's too far.
Yeah, hey, you guys want to come over to watch the game?
You got the peacocks?
You know I got the cock.
I'm cocked up as well.
Are you?
Absolutely.
I like it as a in-and-out wrestling fan. It's great. Get all the events.
I'm
cocked
up.
You got the Royal Rumble
guys.
Coming. You got the cock too.
I got cock up the
you
wazoo.
You got the cock.
It's great to go in and out. We will be coming over you.
You know when I got the cock? In all honesty, I got it for it must have been USA basketball games. Remember that they were showing exclusively on Peacock there.
Yeah.
And that's why I got summer. The service. And then it was, you know, it's $5.99 a month, $4.99, yeah. Something like that.
You can keep it as long as your wife doesn't notice. Like, why are we subscribing to Peacock? Well, Royal Rumble's on once a year.
Oh, I can't wait for the Rumble, man. It's coming up.
Premier League as well. That's why I have it.
Oh, right.
Nice
yeah.
one.
Yeah. So. The cock is great.
Yeah, get the cock, man.
Yeah. I've got other methods.
We got to take a break. Let's take a break. Get loopy in here. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the biggest names moved over the last 5 trade deadlines. We'll take a stroll down memory lane. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, still here in the Classic Factory. Take a second, hit the like button, and just make sure you've subscribed to No Dunks. We're getting close to 100,000 subs, so help us out there. Less than 1 month from the NBA's annual trade deadline, and there remain a few marquee players' names involved in active discussions between some of the front offices. And Yahoo Sports' Jake Fisher, he made a good point yesterday, I thought. We already have seen 3 All-Star guards change locations this season. Damian Lillard, Drew Holiday, and James Harden all dealt before November. And then we had New York acquiring OG Anunoby, you know, sweeping another big name off the board. Fisher continued, so now consider the possibility that Zach LaVine, who Chicago has explored moving since the summer, and then the Raptors' Pascal Siakam, they both remain with their franchises past the February 8th buzzer. It's a possibility. That would leave Hawks guard DeJounte Murray emerging as perhaps the most likely all-star caliber talent to be moved at the deadline. So this article from Fisher got me thinking, like, who have been the biggest names moved over the last 5 deadlines? And how did the immediate future sort of pan out for those teams that acquired said players, star players? So let's take a trip down memory lane here. 2023. This one's pretty easy. There's two to pick from. KD, the Suns acquiring Kevin Durant and TJ Warren from the Nets in a four-team trade with the Bucks and Pacers. Brooklyn received Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, four first-round picks, 23, 25, 27, and 29, and a first-round pick swap in 28 from Phoenix. Yeah. Jay Crowder headed to the Bucks. Indiana netted some second-round picks and took on players into cap space. But yeah, this was obviously the biggest name dealt last year. A couple days prior, Kyrie Irving going to the Mavericks as well. I'm going to leave that one because we've talked about that one before. But how did it work out? It was weird, right? KD hadn't played for a while because he had a MCL sprain. Mm-hmm. And he had been out since January 8th. So he'd missed like 20 games. When he did play in his first game for Phoenix, it was on the road. He looked good. 23 points, 6 boards, 2 assists in 27 minutes. They beat the Hornets. They won. They would go on to win their next two road games. KD scored 37 in one of those. It was like, oh, okay. He's back. But on March 8th, Durant slipped and sprained his left ankle during pregame warmups.
Right.
Knocking him out what was going to be his first Suns home game. He missed the next 10 games due to the injury. And then he returned, and he still looked good. The Suns won another 5 straight with KD averaging about 26 points per game. They went 8-0 when Kevin Durant played at the end of last season. And then they make it into the playoffs. He plays in all 11 playoff games. They beat the Clippers in 5, and then they lost to Denver in 6. So the jury's still out on this one because there wasn't a lot of time at the end of last year. They won a playoff series. Now Beal's there, and we'll see. It hasn't been great, their overall season, but it's still like a TBD here. But by far the biggest name. I mean, Kevin Durant, one of the greatest players of all time, being moved at the deadline, right. That's going to be tough to beat.
And thank you for mentioning that he's great. And a great teammate, I have heard. but I wonder, like, I haven't gone through all of Basketball Reference, but I do love the transactions part of a player's page.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at Kevin Durant's for this trade.
I'm there too, baby.
And the paragraph is 10 lines long on my computer for all the stuff that was involved, because it's a four-team trade, lots of picks with lots of conditions on them. Is this the biggest chunk of text on all of the Basketball Reference website? Like, we're going to get into some more big trades here. I'm like, we might see some nice prose from a Harden trade. I don't know. Whatever the biggest trade is, most players, most picks, I would love to know.
Yeah.
I went over there to see about those first-round picks that you were mentioning.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lot.
What Phoenix was able to get, literally 5 first-round draft picks?
Brooklyn able to get, yeah.
Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, 4 Kevin Durant.
I mean, 4 first-round picks and then the swap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know, I wondered when it all happened. I thought it was in the works for months because Kevin Durant seemingly wanted out and the Raptors seemingly had an option to go trade for him if they wanted to give up Scottie Barnes. But also, apparently, you'd have to give up basically every draft pick you own, essentially.
And this was like, honestly, let's just call it the Matt Ishbia trade, right?
Yes.
Yeah. New owner of the Suns come in and says, hey, we can get Kevin Durant. Give him whatever they want.
Come on, James.
Empty the cupboards. Get him in here.
Yeah. And I guess that's the last one, you know, including Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell of the huge amount of draft picks,
right?
I mean, that's this. I guess the Jrue Holiday was prior to that, but that was 3 with 2. This was sort of the end of, I think, the last time that this many draft picks were traded for a player.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, you're saying you don't think we're ever going to see a trade again that has 4 first-round picks?
I can't see the
future.
And
then maybe some swaps, too?
Yeah, maybe.
It's a lot.
I'm just not able to live in the future. But right now, because of the apron and everything, that's just it's literally like one draft pick per person, or maybe 2. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
But for Kevin Durant, obviously, you give up a lot. Mm-hmm. But they got to the second round last year. That's about it.
Yeah, yeah. It took 2 games off the eventual champions, but we'll see here. Okay, let's go to 2022. There's actually 2 from this one, and I want to touch on both of them. The Nets and 76ers agreed to a blockbuster deal just hours before the trade deadline. James Harden, Paul Millsap going to Philadelphia, Ben Simmons, Seth Curry, Andre Drummond, and 2 first-round draft picks going to Brooklyn. This was 2 teams swapping unhappy superstars or stars. I mean, maybe not a superstar for Ben Simmons, who had been seeking trades. And again, it came in right before the buzzer. At the time of the deal, the 76ers sat 3 games out of first place in the Eastern Conference. Harden came. He played 21 regular season games. He averaged 21, 11, and 7. Team finished 51 and 31. That was good for fourth in the standings. So they slipped from third to fourth, but it was really close. And then what happens? Well, good old James Harden goes on to struggle in the postseason there for Philadelphia. He shot just 40% from the field in the two series. He was particularly bad in the losses. And it was a little bit more of like, we've seen this from James Harden at times.
What about the next season, though, Skeets?
Well, yeah, exactly, exactly.
What about the next season? How did the playoffs go?
Well, better, honestly. Better games and then some really stinkers. But it is funny to think, like, well, like, how did this go for Brooklyn getting Ben Simmons? I mean, ugh. Even worse.
I guess if you're a Brooklyn Nets fan, you look at this and say, the Sixers still owe us a 2027 pick, and James Harden is now on the other side of the country.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Simmons thing has not worked out for Brooklyn, but maybe the picks will.
Yeah. The other one that's more fascinating to me is in the week leading up to the deadline, the Pacers agreed to send two-time All-Star Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and Justin Holiday to the Kings in exchange for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. So this deal was fascinating because it involved two teams that had been trying to shake up their rosters because both were in the middle of disappointing seasons. The Pacers were 13th in the East at the time of the trade. They were 19-36. And the Kings, who came into the season, you might remember, like with a strong desire to make the playoffs and to end the drought, they were stuck at 13th in the West. They were 20-35. So they basically had the exact same record, same spot in their conferences. And so they made this deal. You know, we'll give you our one really promising young guard because we feel confident enough with Fox for your two-time big in Sabonis. And this one's worked out really, really well for both teams. The Pacers finished that season with just 25 wins, but Halliburton averaged 18-10 over the final quarter of the season in Indiana, and he blossomed into an all-star the following year. And they also won 10 more games the following year, and now he's, you know, the leading vote-getter for East guards. And the Kings finished the 21-22 season with just 30 wins, but Mike Brown came in, he's hired, and they eventually snap the playoff drought. And Sabonis has been putting up some monster numbers as of late too. So this one worked out well. Two thumbs up. One of the rare win-win trades, really, at least so far.
Yeah, only the Pacers are able to pull this kind of thing off like they did with Victor Oladipo and Paul George as well. It's rare that you trade two guys and both players in the trade become all NBA players, but that's what happened. And you could throw Fox in the mix as well because he became all NBA after Sabonis showed up, started setting screens, and helped take a little load off him.
Yeah.
The Kings had two big guard options there, and they had to get rid of one of them. Sort of. They moved on. They didn't have the Fox Halliburton chemistry working there, so they got Sabonis in there because they needed a big, just like what the Raptors just did. They need a little Nick. They needed a little what the Knicks also got in that one. They're both winning because the Knicks have scores. They need OG, and the Raps needed a little bit of guard play as well. But Halliburton, I thought, was going to be the winner of all things in this trade, but it really has worked really well for the Kings, too.
2021, biggest name involved in this trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Trey Kirby is nodding his head. He knows who it is. The Magic traded all-star center Nikola Vucevic, and veteran forward Al-Farouq Aminu. There's a name I had not thought about in a long time. To the Bulls for Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, and a pair of future first-round picks the Bulls own in 21 and 23. That 21 pick, Franz Wagner.
Franz.
Pretty damn good. 23, Jet Howard. You know, verdict still out on that one. But yeah, Vuce was cooking this year when they made this deal. He was averaging a career-high 24.5 points per game, 12 boards, 4 assists. He's doing it in Orlando. His scoring dipped in Chicago, but the efficiency and the other stats stayed pretty similar. The real kicker here for this trade is that the Bulls, with Vooch, have played in just 5 playoff games.
Yeah, but how many have the Magic made?
Yeah, that's a good point. Fair. Would you rather have Franz Wagner than Vooch, though? I know it's who knows what
for the future.
So, yes, of course.
I mean, Franz is hurt right now, but this trade has basically ended up being Vooch for Franz Wagner.
Yeah.
Wendell Carter Jr. seemed like the big piece that the Bulls were giving up, but he played 62 games with the Magic, then 57. He's only played 13 games this season. He's putting up a triple single. He's their third best center, so losing out on Wendell Carter Jr. doesn't seem to have been as bad as it seemed like it could have been for the Bulls. But yeah, Franz is going to be a star eventually. But the Bulls at this point were just trying to get back to the playoffs. So they succeeded. And I can still remember walking through the parking lot at Baslov Skeet screaming, "And now!" Blasting the Sirius, the Alan Parsons Project. I was excited. And then Zach LaVine got COVID, and the Bulls didn't even make the playoffs that 2021 season.
Right. And if I think Lonzo Ball doesn't get hurt, they don't have a good future in general. Like, if he's there playing, they'd have a great future.
Yeah.
But it was a great start. They had the perfect chemistry, I thought. They were a really good team. But if Lonzo Ball ain't there, obviously it goes poof and goes nowhere, really.
Later in the day, by the way, the Nuggets won the Aaron Gordon sweepstakes during this trade deadline. Because it was like the Magic were trading everybody. They were like, okay, we're trading Vooch. Trade him to the Bulls, and Aaron Gordon, who wants him? And the Nuggets got him for, you know, Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and Denver's 2025 first-round pick, which is top five protected. And that one we talked about not long ago, actually, Aaron Gordon. You know, it wasn't amazing right from the jump, and there was injuries to the Nuggets, but of course it paid off with the way he played in their championship run.
What happened to RJ Hampton? Everybody was in favor of that man
Miami
for
Heat,
a while.
I think now,
yeah,
right?
Is that yeah. right?
I think yeah. I saw him.
He definitely has bounced
earlier.
Around.
Yeah,
but
for
he's
sure.
barely playing.
Yeah.
Strange.
Yeah. 2020, biggest name was probably D'Angelo Russell. The Warriors traded D'Angelo Russell to the Timberwolves, along with Omari Spellman and Jacob Evans. In exchange, Golden State received Andrew Wiggins, a protected 2021 first-round pick, who would become Jonathan Kuminga, and a second-round pick. So I always forget. I got to be honest. I always forget D'Angelo Russell was on the Warriors for a hot minute there. And the Wolves had their eyes on D'Angelo Russell since like 2019 free agency. He was like a top target for them. They wanted to – I think they offered him a four-year contract, but the Warriors swooped in with the four-year max salary offer as part of a sign-and-trade in the Kevin Durant deal, which got KD from the Warriors to Brooklyn. Again, I forgot about that. KD actually signed with the Warriors. D'Angelo Russell signed with Brooklyn, and then the trade occurs. But 7 months later, 33 games with the Warriors, D'Angelo Russell, he's finally teaming up with his buddy, Karl Anthony Towns, in Minnesota. And D'Angelo Russell and Andrew Wiggins was the biggest names traded on the 2020 deadline.
I mean, Russell at that point was an all-star, right? I guess he
wasn't
coming off an all-star appearance in that season.
I don't
remember the year he made it, but it could have been.
2019, yeah.
When that happened, when the whole Durant, D'Angelo sign-and-trade happened, everybody said, oh, they're just doing this so they can have a big contract to trade. And that's exactly what happened.
Yep.
Because D'Angelo Russell had his career high for the Warriors, 52 points in Minnesota.
Ooh.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm. You, of course, mentioned that he's good friends with Karl Anthony Towns. They got together, I think, along with Devin Booker on a Slam Magazine cover or something
that.
Like that. And then, you know, the Warriors went on to win the championship 2 years later, and the Timberwolves went on to trade D'Angelo Russell as well, and now they're in first place.
Mm. Trading D'Angelo Russell works out for teams.
Yeah.
He was like totally adequate in Minnesota. Like, it's a classic D'Angelo Russell where he won them some games and definitely lost them other games, but he played brutal in a six-game series loss against the Grizzlies in 2022. He shot like 33% from the floor. He was really, really bad. And then you said it, Wiggins, man, he turned into an all-star. Andrew Wiggins was
indeed
an all-star. And a big part of that was the Warriors were rolling at the All-Star break. They had like 42 wins. I remember us debating, like, is Andrew Wiggins really an All-Star? Is he just he's getting the Warriors bump here? But anyway, he made it. And then he went to the next level the next year and helping them win the title. And now, what's so weird about it all is now he's like, he's back to being even worse than he ever was at the end of his Minnesota days with whatever's going on. Yeah.
It was the ultimate locker room environment there in Golden State because people questioned, why are you acquiring Andrew Wiggins? Because the Minnesota run was obviously filled with many, many points, but not a lot of championship-type aspirations. And then he went and won one with the Golden State Warriors. So it might seem stupid now because of the way Wiggins is going right now and that he signed a four-year deal with Golden State. But looking back, it was a heck of a deal. The whole thing from Kevin Durant to D'Angelo Russell that turned into Andrew Wiggins. yeah, they had to trade Amari Spellman. I get it. I remember Amari Spellman and Kevin Herter and Trae Young and their press conference when they were drafted here in Atlanta in 2018. Oh, it was fun. But Amari Spellman didn't last too long. No. He was part of those the weird Golden State days when they were going 15 and 50. That quick year. But Wiggy.
I just like the timing back, of this Wiggy. One because...
Oh, Kuminga was part of that deal as well.
Well, he was the pick, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have picked Franz.
Yeah, right. Same draft. I think what's fascinating is the timing of this, right? Taking this little trip down memory lane. It's because, like, at the time, it was like, is Andrew Wiggins' career salvageable? Like, can anybody sort of save this? Like, he'd scored a lot in Minnesota, but obviously he was on the felt like he was on always on the El Tizo team, right? It was like, oh, he's really good at times, then he goes missing. And so he did, you know, the Warriors did. Can it happen again? Is he too old? Is it over? I mean, I wouldn't bet on it happening again, but I mean,
it might his be name the ultimate El Tizo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Falling out in the finals, signing a $100 million contract extension a couple of months later, and then what we've seen since.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. 2019, our final year here. The biggest name traded at the deadline actually occurred a week before, and it was the Dallas Mavericks acquiring all-star forward Kristaps Porzingis, along with Trey Burke, Tim Hardaway Jr., and Courtney Lee from the Knicks in exchange for a package that included point guard Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, your boy Wesley Matthews, and two future first-round picks. Two fun notes about this Porzingis deal, him going from New York to Dallas. The deal apparently came together after Porzingis met with Knicks management on that Thursday and left the franchise with the impression that he wanted out. He's like, he doesn't want to be here. The meeting apparently lasted 5 minutes. That was reports at the time. And I guess the Knicks called New Orleans about, hey, can we get Anthony Davis? And the Pelicans were like, we're not all that interested. We don't even think Porzingis will like sign here long term. So no, we're out on that. And instead, he goes to Dallas here. But that made me laugh. Five minutes, Porzingis. They're like, he doesn't want to be here. Trade his ass.
Yeah, and they tried to make it work with him and Luka, but it just ultimately, he just kept getting hurt there. And you see what the Celtics are doing differently. They went and paid a lot to go get Kristaps Porzingis, but he's sitting out fairly regularly to keep the legs fresh as much as possible. And when he's out there, looks fantastic as a support guy. But he was an all-star way back when with the Knicks.
Yeah.
Things look good. Then he got hurt, unfortunately, right then and there.
So he was the biggest name at that deadline, but the most impactful player traded during the 2019 deadline was the Raptors acquiring Marc Gasol. Yeah, from the Grizzlies for Valanciunas, DeLon Wright, CJ Miles, and a 24 second round pick. Raptors president Masai Ujiri said at the time, "Mark brings significant playoff experience to our team, which along with his savviness and leadership skills really helps position us for an ultimate postseason goal." He called his shot on that one. Gasol played in all 24 playoff games. He averaged 10-6-4 and a steal and a block. He hit 34 total three-pointers in that postseason run. Was a huge reason why they took care of Joel Embiid and sort of contained him. So, yeah, Marc Gasol was the most impactful player. But going through this, you know, big names, but when you see the list of all the deadline moves, there are so many that are like pointless. And you know, it'll happen again and we'll talk here at the table. Oh man, this is a game changer. This might mean this, but in the end, like 90% of them have very little impact on the actual season. True. Yeah. But anyway, that was fun to do. A little trivia question though, off of Gasol. Those 34 made three-pointers in one postseason run, only one other player listed 6'10 or taller has ever hit more in a single postseason.
Kevin Durant.
In NBA history.
Dirk.
No. Hmm. No one, no. Center.
Not tall. Oh, okay.
Center listed 6'10.
Okay. I'm like, 34 is not taller. That many, so should be gettable. A center.
It's gettable.
Threes. Brook Lopez?
No.
It wasn't Towns.
No. I mean, you got to remember, you got to play a lot of games.
Yeah.
Like, so that's
who knows? Two rounds, you get hot.
Yeah.
Bosch?
Bosch has one of the highest. I think he hit 30 in one of the postseason runs. Channing Frye also had one postseason run where he hit a ton.
Oh yeah,
but you haven't named the guy yet. He's a superstar.
Jokic.
Yeah, Jokic hit 42 threes in 19 games during the 2020 postseason, and then he hit 35 threes during last year's championship run. Mm. But still, pretty freaking impressive. Marc Gasol hit 34. That's wild. Because that guy, like, we talk a lot about Brook Lopez. I was thinking about this. Like, I'm glad you brought that up, Trey. About, like, wow, this guy didn't shoot a three-pointer, like, for the first, like, 7 or 8 years of his career, and then suddenly turned into this amazing three-point marksman. You know, Marc Gasol, not as much, but Al Horford should be included in that, too. Al Horford made, like, 20 threes in his first, like, 7 years in the league, and now is, like, one of the better big men from shooting distance, and he's done it in the playoffs, too.
Yeah, and I bet you look back, he probably shot less twos in that playoff run.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
He was just standing at the three-point line. And he did it in very limited minutes, too, because he was sharing the center role with Serge Ibaka. He wasn't playing a ton.
Yeah.
But he was out there shooting when he was out there.
Yeah, if you round down to include 6'9" guys, Al Horford tops the list with 47 made three-pointers in just 23 games during the Celtics' run to the finals. So, yeah, he was letting it fly. And again, he barely shot in Atlanta. I can't remember one single Al Horford three-pointer in Atlanta. But he added it to his game. Anyway, there it is. Again, the last five trade deadlines, biggest names traded. Who will it be this year? I know TK was very happy with a Lakers loss last night because every Lakers loss means it's maybe more likely that they make a trade for Zach LaVine.
Skeets, do you think it was a coincidence that I mentioned the Lakers need three-point shooting this season?
I do not. I do not indeed. No, you got to talk it into existence, my man. Zach LaVine, Siakam, DeJounte Murray, or you never know. Maybe there's a surprise out there. We're going to take one more break. When we come back, Tweet of the Night and Rapid Fire.
I got to get something off my chest. Nothing drives me crazier than sending a message to a group chat and getting no response. That's why I'm a big emoji responder. Love a hang loose hand or a salute. But man, it hurts when you send a message and get nothing back. Ouch. We all carry around different stressors, big and small. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. Designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/NoDunks today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/NoDunks. This episode of No Dunks is brought to you by BetterHelp.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
If you get rid of the guy having to be a center, 6'10 or taller, to hit the most three-pointers in one postseason run, it's a fun list. Durant is near the top of the list. He had 47 made threes during one of the Warriors' runs in 21 games. But number one, Rashard Lewis. 6'10, hit 52 threes over 24 games when the Magic went to the finals in 08-09. Second, Tim Thomas.
Tim Thomas
from the Suns. He did it in 20 games. He had 48 threes. That's incredible.
And he's wearing three headbands, I heard.
Incredible stuff there. Michael Porter Jr. also had a great shooting year last year. Anyway, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
It's simple. It's a photo. If you're listening to the podcast, go seek this out on Twitter or fire up our YouTube stream. It's from @WScottDavis. The singer of the War on Drugs kind of looks like rock and roll Zach Lowe. And it's true.
Yes,
it's not bad at all. There were a lot of jokes about, this is Zach Lowe after two beers. Usually a one beer man. But great tweets. It's so good. Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect.
What do you think Zach Lowe's favorite song is?
Like all music?
Yeah. I just never hear him talk about music.
No, I was going to say, is he one of these rare people that doesn't like music?
Maybe he's not passionate about music.
Yeah, not passionate
about music. I think that's a lie. I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't like music, but maybe they don't care to know. who sings the songs or what they're called.
Well, our friend Julie Gardner famously says she has no passion for music. She will not put on music in the house, in the radio. And we're like, what? She's like, I'd just rather listen to nothing. It blows our mind. It's the most insane take. But there is one person, Trey. Maybe Zach
one
Lowe.
Person, yeah.
Maybe Zach Lowe is like Julie, but.
Oh, good. I remember what it is.
Here we go.
Get Low. Jalen Rose used to sing it all the time, right?
I forgot about that. Good stuff. All right, great tweet there, Scott. Let's wrap up this Drop podcast with some rapid fire fun. TK, you got the questions this week.
Man, people in the stream team are admitting they don't like music. Y'all are crazy. Put some tunes in your ears. Our first rapid fire question. A guy on Twitter posted a picture of himself standing next to a cardboard cutout of Paul George while dressed exactly like Paul George. And the caption read, "Respect greatness." Fellas, which famous person could you reasonably impersonate, Skeets?
Well, only because we were talking music. Can I go with the lead singer from Incubus, Brandon Boyd? Nah. I'll go, if I took the beard off, I've, of course, gotten before and talked about it before. Some similarities to Hall of Famer Steve Nash. So, and can I do a really shitty impersonation of him out on the basketball court? Yeah, I can. So I'll go Nash, but shout out to Incubus.
Incubus guy's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
Pretty accurate.
Some similarities. Again, I gotta take the beard off, but yeah, it's there.
I had to look over at Trey's computer to see that photo. I don't know what the Incubus guys look like. I don't like music.
Same.
If you see the guy, Brandon, I mean, I get it.
A little bit, yeah.
I've gotten it a little bit.
Sure.
In the past.
Same with me here. My pick is John Stamos. I don't really look like him, but, you know, his background is Greek. We reshot the Full House opening theme song. I played John Stamos. You know, this was way back when. We were in San Fran, 2011. It was fun. But also, he's been the face of Oikos yogurt recently, and I don't eat Greek yogurt anymore, and I'd like to get back into it.
What happened?
Wow.
Yeah, he gave it up?
Yeah. I've just had enough yogurt. I just hit my limit.
Yeah, take a break sometimes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Chips, like flavors of chips. Yeah. You're like, you eat too many of them. You're like, I don't ever want to eat another one of these again. Leave it 5 years and then you'll be back. You'll be back on the yogurt trail.
I'll be back.
I'm back on the sour cream and onion. Even the boring ones, the zoots.
Zoots?
I think that's Z-U-T apostrophe S. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. I don't know.
Zoots?
It's like a standard, like, put
a
them
brand?
With chips. Yes.
Okay.
Zoots? I'm looking at
it. Maybe I'm saying it wrong. I don't know. But it's a standard, like, throw it on some, with a sandwich type.
Okay.
Yeah, they're fine.
Back on chips, off yogurt. JD, which famous person could you impersonate?
I mean, it's Rick Rubin.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Holy.
Here's a split screen of.
Hell yeah.
Oh,
both
and
of
you're
us.
And you're both sick producers, man.
Yeah, we are the Beastie Boys of sports shows, I think.
You look like the evil and good version of each other in this picture.
Yeah.
I'm evil, obviously. But yeah,
great answer.
You look like the dude there as well, a little bit.
A little bit.
A little dude-ish.
My chips are Utz. Utz.
Oh, I love Utz.
Oh, yeah.
Those chips are awesome.
They're good.
I love the honey barbecue. That's damn good. That's a good chip.
Is it Utz or Utz?
I
say Utz, but
yeah, it's probably
Utz.
It looks like Utz. Yeah.
Was that a Mad Men episode? Was there a Mad Men episode about Utz or something like that?
I don't know.
Don Draper was selling us Utz. Possibly.
No, there was another guy who was like trying to pull some moves about a chip brand. I don't think it was Utz, but I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't know, but they got good commercials. I want to try their like pretzel chips or something like that.
Yeah, they got a lot of chips. Yeah.
Let us know what you guys think about Utz chips, please.
They're good.
Video surfaced this week of Sixers coach Nick Nurse jamming with rock bands Mount Joy and the Arkells. I didn't know that he was going to bring his guitar to Philadelphia, but he did.
Nick Nurse, man.
In the clip, was he not playing the piano?
Yeah, it looked like
point.
It.
Yeah, I was blown away by that. I was like, oh, this guy can also play the piano. Like,
plays it all, baby.
It's pretty impressive. He likes music.
He likes music. He absolutely
Here's
likes
Here's who
music.
We know likes music in the NBA. Grant Hill and Nick Nurse.
Top two music lovers. What's another NBA/entertainment industry collaboration you'd like to see, Skeets?
Well, you guys know of the Yacht Rock Review.
Sure.
It's a band that I believe sort of started here in Atlanta. They tour around the country now. Nostalgia, heavy soft rock, right, is what we're looking at here. So I want the following players to be in the Yacht Rock review. Did I want to fire the pun gun? Yes, I did. The Booby Gibson brothers.
Nice.
Kenny Smith Loggins. Fleetwood Shelvin Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Steely Mike D'Antoni. Or Steely Dan Gedzerich. I don't know. Whatever one you want.
Steely and Dan Gedzerich.
And then Michael McDonald. And you're going, well, where's the pun in that? There was a player who played one game for the Hornets in 1998 named Michael McDonald.
Wow.
We should do a short on this guy. Yeah, he's a 6'10 center from New Orleans. He played one game. He scored, so he got some stats in the game. But his name is straight up Michael McDonald.
So you're saying he played one game and then he took it to the streets. I don't know. You could easily be lying about this. This could be something that a fool believes.
Oh, jeez. Look at these. On fire, man. It's on fire. Yeah, Michael McDonald.
Ride like the wind. I got to come up with one for that later.
Riding the bench like the wind.
Yeah. And he's from New Orleans. Maybe he's just a musician / basketball player.
That's true.
What a crazy voice Michael McDonald has. Oh, Tass. Yeah. NBA entertainment industry collaboration. Me.
Well, when you're an athlete and you're on the road, you're bound to get nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, even diarrhea. Hey, there's Pepto-Bismol. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, even diarrhea. Hey, there's Pepto-Bismol. Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, upset stomach, even diarrhea. I can't sing this. Hey, there's Pepto-Bismol. Maybe it's just the music that's throwing me off. I just want five NBA players to redo the Pepto-Bismol ad, which was five people standing side by side holding their stomach or holding their butts because they're having problems. So actually, when Netflix does their new series? Yeah, their new series. Why we have Sabonis, Anthony Edwards, LeBron, Butler, and Tatum on the front. They should do a Pepto-Bismol. Yeah. Why not?
Okay.
Yeah,
they each go on of the them road. Representing the various ailments that Pepto-Bismol. Yeah.
Nausea, heartburn, indigestion, up to the stomach, even diarrhea. Out of those five guys, who gets diarrhea? Sabonis, Anthony Edwards,
Butler. Obviously.
Butler, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, done and done. Tatum would bring out his Tatums to help his stomach. But why the heck not?
Wow, we are firing the pun.
They should remake the Pepto-Bismol commercial. I love it. I did not expect that.
Because when you think music, and you think Pepto-Bismol's commercial.
Well, I had some hot pot last week, and somebody mentioned that to me. Just in case.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. My stomach did hurt, but I didn't have Pepto-Bismol.
Have you ever taken Pepto-Bismol?
Never.
I've never.
Gross. I'm still a devotee.
I'm going to take it every day.
Wow! you should be on the new docuseries.
Get your Rick Rubin on and produce this commercial.
Yeah. No, I suffer from all of them.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Almost like the Macarena over here.
Do you drink the liquid or take the tabs or
whatever? Liquid. Yeah, liquid's the most immediate. Okay. I'm just kidding. I don't take it every day, but I have definitely taken it before.
Not a fun product to buy at the store, though.
Yeah. No.
You're like, just one bottle of Pepto-Bismol, please. Please don't ask the question. Not for me.
Oh, man.
For my sick children. Raptors coach Darko.
I have no puns. And it's not music related, but it is a collaboration. NBA entertainment. Dirk Nowitzki paired up with, you know what? Fuck it. Me. I'm in the NBA entertainment industry.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's me and Dirk versus Tyson Apostle and Aisha Tyler, two big pickleball people, and we're playing pickleball. A celebrity cage match of pickleball.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I want to see.
What would you call it? Because like they've had like the match or whatever is like the golf one, right?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, the dink probably.
Oh, dink. Oh, the dink coming up onto the cock later.
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Brought to you by Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah,
Raptors coach Darko Rajakovic went on an epic rant earlier this week after a loss in which the Lakers took 23 fourth quarter free throws to Toronto's 2. He called the officiating complete crap. Get him some Pepto-Bismol, he said. Guys, what's something infuriating that makes you want to go on a Darko-style rant?
I don't know about infuriating, but I shared this on Twitter the other day, so let me lean into the rant. It was about the discourse around Pat McAfee recently with the whole Aaron Rodgers thing and Norby Williamson and ESPN and all that, and that's fine, and you can leave that where it is. But there was a lot of talking about Pat McAfee and the move from YouTube, his show, to ESPN. The idea of like sort of a podcast or a YouTube show going to a big network. And a lot of people talking about it, maybe it was doing well, maybe it's not, whatever. But within all these podcasts I heard about it, within all these articles I heard about it, whenever that was mentioned, I was waiting, just waiting for someone to bring up our show. The Basketball Jones going from a podcast, sort of a YouTube show, to NBA TV as the starters. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
It was a success.
Yeah.
Six absolutely. Seasons, 1,000+ shows. Young demographic. Yes, we eventually did not sign the third contract.
We got sorry. Shows got canceled.
Six got a little forced out during a merger, if we're being completely honest.
That's exactly right.
But the point was, I just kept waiting for it to come up. Somebody, drop it. It was a success. And it never did. Hmm. So I just let the Twitter, I let the X know. And people, of course, were. I was not looking for compliments, but I'm just like, put some respect on our name. You forgot about us. And that's it. So that was sort of a rant. I guess I was turning into a rant.
That was nice. Okay. That was nice. A table pound, perhaps? Yeah, exactly.
Take that for data. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we were and are one of the rare, and there are others, don't get me wrong, but rare, like podcast to TV success stories. It can be done. We did it.
We left TV when it was cool to leave TV. TV's dead, baby.
It's all streaming now.
We'll be back on TV.
Eventually. But
then it'll be cool again.
Yeah. When we decide, though.
It's up to us.
I will say exactly Peacock may no longer be an option for us.
Mm. We can't go on the cock?
I don't know if they'd like us calling it that. Better than the P. Tass, what are you going on a rant about?
In general, VR headsets. Because I want them to work every time I see them. I want to make that purchase, but every time I put them on my face, they don't work. I mean, they work fine, but this ain't the future yet. It's like us starting our podcast 20 years ago, now everybody podcasting. Maybe podcasts weren't good for a while. 6, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. But they came around. Just like VR headsets, I think they will come around. But they're not the most... I don't know what even the word is. It's not a great experience every single time.
Yeah.
So one day.
This came up last night after we played hoops and we went for wings. We started talking about VR. Someone was like, do people still watch NBA games on their VR headsets? And Trey and I were like, you don't hear anything about it anymore.
Definitely.
Maybe.
Not.
You were the only, like, you were one of the rare people, Tass was, that even tried it.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was fine, but.
It was fine.
The problem is, 15 minutes later, you're like, you're wearing this dumb headset.
Yeah, I'm using my eyes to watch a game. It didn't feel like I was there, exactly. And it's innovative and all that, but I could also just take it off and watch the game. So I
wasn't and look at your wife and kids and around your room. Yeah,
yeah. I'm tapped in. I'm in Golden State now. It's been around a long time. VR at this point, I feel like.
There's a new one coming from Apple, I think, like a new headset.
Yeah, if it doesn't work with Apple, that's bad.
Yeah.
There's the future.
JD, what are you ranting about?
It's the YouTube algorithm, and I don't want to bite the hand that feeds us, but it's complete crap, to use Darko's words. On one hand, it rewards you for negativity. Like, you know, whenever we put, it's the worst dunk you've ever seen or whatever, goes through the roof.
Yeah.
Like, it's pushing it to people. People are angry. It's going to get angry. But on the other hand, especially on the is this good side, anything. It's like I picture the algorithm as like a, you know, a pearl clutching schoolmarm from the 1930s who's just like any sort of reference to nudity or anything like scandalous, like the stuff that that's been choked down or throttled. On the is this good side, urination in a pool, like it just censored us. A wardrobe malfunction. To be fair, we did, we said breasts akimbo. That was said by our guest. But still, vaping.
Akimbo.
We talked about an age gap between what two of our guests. All this stuff has just been throttled for no reason. We spend so much time agonizing over, what should we call this? Let's call it, the algorithm's not going to like that. Don't call it that. It's just like, God.
That's really tough for a show like Is This Good?
I know, because everything is like, it's all, you know, our brand is, what is it, sucking, fucking, and puking. And nothing, this now this is going to get throttled because I uttered those words.
But what did you start with?
We were screaming the cock for a good 3
minutes,
too. That's
true. Well, we were talking about peacock. Yeah. Get your mind out of the gutter, Skeets.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were talking
about You're worse
cock
than
cock.
The algorithm.
Oh, wait, we were talking about streaming? yeah, that's a good one, man. Yeah. Good rant.
God damn.
You'll do your head in trying to figure out.
Oh yeah, and that's the thing. Like, yeah. And it could change overnight. And you know, content creation. Like, I'd rather deal with the FCC, to be honest. Like, they're more, you know, it's like the SNL sketch when they're, you know, we can say penis. Great, we're gonna say it 55 times in one sketch.
Right.
You know. You can't say penis on the YouTube algorithm. It's the internet, guys. Anyway, that's it.
Do you click that's the good. Not for kids and all that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Good stuff.
That's a great rant.
A great rant.
Nobody can figure out the algorithm. It's a mystery.
He's fired up, man. All right, that's the rapid fire portion of the show. Not so rapid, but who cares? That's the drop. Hopefully a classic. You tell us. You gotta help us beat the algorithm on this one, guys. You gotta hit that like button. You gotta subscribe. You gotta share the show. Or otherwise, we're gonna have like 5 views on this one for all the stuff we said here. So help us out. Do your part. Podcast listeners, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. There are 23 NBA games on this weekend. Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
Chunky.
It's a holiday here in the States for most people. Martin Luther King Day. But we're gonna be here at 10 a.m. to break down the weekend. So join us live here from the Classic Factory on YouTube at 10 a.m. And, we have a lot to talk about in theory. Will we get a big trade? Will there be an emergency podcast for crying out loud? You never know as we get closer and closer to the deadline. So we'll see you for either an emergency podcast or on Monday. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, the algorithm on the internet can be complete crap. Although it was pretty good for us when we talked about Darko. So thanks. Thanks, Darko.
Well, that's it speaks to what JD was saying. Yeah. Negativity. Yeah. Anger.
Mm-hmm.
The worst. People, the referees.
Crap videos.
Yeah, crap videos.
Thanks for that word. Crap is good because...
It is a good word.
Yeah. It's good because I think it straddles the line.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. That's
right. Embrace the weekend, people.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.